Now let's continue on, brethren, because the Scriptures, put them all together, rightly dividing the Scriptures, really paints us a tremendous picture as to what God has for us and what we're going to be doing. And I tell you, this becomes more exciting as we see the world around us deteriorating. But always remember, as I pointed out, God is going to let the world have its own one world government. And that's why all the trouble we're going through now is to prepare for the way for that to come. Now, let's come back here to Psalm 132 and let's see the connection between Jerusalem being the capital city, as we've already covered, for the kingdom of God, and David, who's going to be resurrected and sit on his throne. And that's going to be an interesting thing, isn't it? Yes. And then it looks like all the 12 apostles will be ruling over the 12 tribes, along with David being the king over all the 12 tribes. So we can see some things that are clear, but we don't know exactly what all of our appointments or our assignments are going to be. Verse 7, here's what it's going to be. Think of this now. Think of when it's told to us when it comes time for us to go to Jerusalem. And as we pointed out, it's going to be that great canopy of light that hangs over Jerusalem. Verse 7. Let us go up unto his tabernacle. Let us worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, into your rest. And that's the millennium. You and the ark of your strength. Let your priest be clothed with righteousness, and your saints shout for joy. So there's a prophecy concerning us. And notice how this fits in with David. For your servant David's sake, turn not away your face from your anointed. Now let's come down here to verse 13. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his habitation. Of course, now that Zion is going to be a whole lot different than it is today. Because remember what we read in Zechariah 14, when the Lord puts his foot on Mount of Olives, it's going to rise and split in two. So that Zion is going to be far different from what we think of today. Verse 14, this is my resting place forever. Guess where New Jerusalem is going to be centered on? Right on that one place, right? Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe my priest with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. What a tremendous thing this is going to be. Imagine what it's going to be like when we have the opportunity to go to Jerusalem to keep a Sabbath, go to Jerusalem to keep any of the feasts. That's going to be something, because we're going to keep them forever, brethren. Think of it, because that also will have then, there will be another meaning and expression for the feast of God as it goes out into all eternity. That's something. I mean, when we start thinking about these things, when we start getting our mind into it and looking at the Scriptures, what God has for us, we can be just exactly like Paul wrote of, that it doesn't matter what the things are, it doesn't matter what is happening, there is nothing that can defeat us, there is nothing that can overcome us, and all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Now let's go to Psalm 100. And here's another thing we're going to do. Look at what's going to happen to the earth. We saw how in Romans the 8th chapter that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. But look at the difference in what the earth is going to be like in Psalm 100 here. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Isn't that going to be something? Yes, indeed. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. He has made us. We are his. We are the people and the sheep of his pasture. That's what all people are going to say during the millennium. And we're going to be the shepherds, and we're going to be the priests, and we're going to be the teachers. Can you imagine how fantastic this is going to be? Every human being will reach the epitome of their potential. This will be absolutely the greatest and most fantastic civilization that has ever been. And we are going to make it that way. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and bless his name. Think, year after year after year after year, 1,000 years. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love is everlasting, and his faithfulness endures to all generations. Now let's look at some of the psalms that start out. And I love the way that they start out. Starts out, the Lord reigns. Hey, what an announcement that is, right? Think about that. Think what that's going to be like. All right, let's come here to Psalm 93. 93 and verse 1. Look, it talks about just what it's going to be all during the kingdom of God. The Lord reigns. No Satan around, no evil men around, no oppressors around, no liars and cheats and thieves, so forth. He is clothed with majesty, so will we. We will have glory. The Lord is clothed with strength, and so will we. He clothed himself, and the world also was established. It shall not be moved. No rebellions, no insurrections, no coup d'etats, no lying and cheating and thieving. Oh, there will be sin to overcome. There will be things that people will have to learn. Yes, but not like it is today. Verse 2, your throne is established of old. You are from everlasting. Now think about that. What is it going to be like to be a spirit being and to realize that even though we came into the world as physical human beings, we were part of a continuum that was part of eternity or everlasting. Even though we're going to get old and die and be put in the ground, that's no problem for God. He's going to resurrect us. Verse 3, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voices. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord is high on high, is mightier than the thunders of many waters, yea, mightier than the mighty waves of the sea. Your testimonies are sure. Holiness adorns your house forever, O Lord. Isn't that amazing? I can't help but think, I wonder what Moses thought when he went up to the burning bush and he heard the voice say, take off your sandals, for the ground you are standing on is holy ground. Think what it's going to be like in New Jerusalem. Think what it's going to be like when we see the Father face to face. Think what it's going to be like when we are able to reach out and help all the people of the world. Yes, holiness adorns your house forever, O Lord. Now let's come to Psalm 96. There are quite a few psalms that come along right here that have to do with the millennium and bringing the peace and rule of God to the earth. Verse 1, Psalm 96, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Boy, you read all about the kind of singing and things that will be. Hey, we're going to see the magnificent ability of so many people. And then all the saints, think what it's going to be like Now, all of those of you who can't hold a tune in a bucket, when you're a spirit being, you're going to have perfect pitch. That'd be something. Think about all the people. Now, they're going to sing praises to us as they sing praises to God, not to worship us in place of God, but we're going to be the sons and daughters of God. So we're going to receive some of that. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. And I often think of it as if you're on a satellite right above the earth and the earth is turning and you could be in that one spot and look down and see all the people in that particular time zone keeping the Sabbath, coming before God, singing praises to God, you know, and in every town and village, there's going to be a church on the corner, which will be a church, which will be a school, which will be a community center. And the whole community is going to know one another. And then over here will be another community, and this will just multiply by itself as growth comes. See, because God always starts with the individual and then builds out from there. Remember when he created Adam and Eve? He created two. He didn't create a whole community. Remember when he called Abraham, who was Abraham and his wife Sarah, correct? Yes. Think what it's going to be for the whole world. Verse 2, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim his salvation from day to day. That'll be our job. That's going to be terrific, isn't it? Declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all people, as we saw in Isaiah 11. The knowledge of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the seas cover the earth. And look at the change in the environment. Look at the change in the nature of animals, the change in the nature of human beings. It's all going to be there. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Now, if that's meaning us, that's likely, although it's referring to gods in the world today. But we will be the sons of God. So, you know, what did Jesus say there in John the 10th chapter? Didn't he tell the scribes and Pharisees when he said, you saying you're the son of God, you make yourself equal to God. Well, what did he refer to? He referred to Psalm 82. Does it not say, you are gods, and the scripture cannot be broken? So this gives us a little something to think on. Now here are the gods that were of the nations, verse 5, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O you kindreds of the people. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Know that every good thing comes from God. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Think what that's going to be like. To really worship God from here to there is God. You and all the saints worshiping God together. Then all the nations. Verse 10. Say among the nation, the Lord reigns, and the world shall be established. It shall not be moved. He shall judge the people with righteousness. That's something, brother. That's our job. It's talking about us. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness of it. Let the field be joyful and all that is in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy. The whole environment, all people, the family of God, all in harmony. Amazing, isn't it? Well, that's what it's going to be like. All right, now let's come here to Psalm 97. Again, it's talking about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ and the saints. Verse 1, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of islands be glad. Clouds and darkness are all around him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. And what did we read at the beginning? That we can sit down in his throne with him and judge with him righteously. Okay? Verse 3. A fire goes out before him and burns up his enemies around about him. That's what he's going to do when he returns. His lightnings light up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. What an amazing thing that is going to be. There it is, right in the Psalms. It's not tremendous how great and marvelous that the Word of God is. Like we started out, the Word of God is like a sphere. And in a sphere, you can put almost an infinite number of lines through it, and you have an infinite number of intersections or junctions that all fit together. And that's what we're trying to do with this. All right, let's come to Psalm 99, verse 1. Again, the Lord reigns. What a message that is going to be. You know, just think about it. The first work we're going to do, we're going to have our assignment. We're going to know what we're going to do. And the first thing we're going to do is go out there and tell the people, the Lord reigns. Come out of the holes. Come out of the dens. Come out of the caves. Be healed. So we're going to heal them physically, mentally, spiritually. And they're going to understand that the Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He sits between the cherubims. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all people. You know, just like it says there in Isaiah the 2nd chapter, or Micah the 4th chapter, that many nations shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord. For he will teach us of his way, and he will teach us of his laws. For out of Zion shall go forth the law. All a part of what we're going to do. Let them praise your holy name as great and awesome. Holy is he. The strength of the king also loves justice. You establish righteousness. You execute justice and righteousness in Jacob. And yes, in the whole world. Look at how great this is. Verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Notice what else is going to be there. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel also among those who call upon his name. They called upon the Lord and he answered them. So that's going to be quite a thing, isn't it, brethren? We're reading our future. We're reading the glory that is waiting for us and for the world. Now let's see what the message is going to be that we're going to teach them. Let's come to Isaiah 55. And let's see how we're going to teach them the knowledge of salvation right from the beginning. Isaiah 55. And now we're also going to see how the Bible reaches back again to Abraham. Isn't that interesting? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Christ, and the saints, and the preaching of the truth, the gospel of God. All right, Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come, buy, and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now that is the truth and righteousness of God. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for what never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good. Let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now that is the spirituality of fullness that comes from God. That's what God wants. Bow down your ear and come to me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I've given him for a witness to the people, a prince, and a commander of the people. Now notice verse 5. Behold, you shall call a nation that you did not know, because the Gentiles are going to be all part of this. A nation that did not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God, for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. So that's all a part of the scene of what's going to take place. Come down here to verse 12. You shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break out before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Notice again how the whole environment's going to be at peace with the ruling of the saints and of God ruling the earth. It's going to be a tremendous day. Now notice what's going to happen. Instead of the thorn, the fir tree shall come up. Now what was the curse after Adam and Eve had sinned? Thorns and thistles shall come up to you. All right? Instead of the thorn, the fir tree shall come up. Instead of the briar, the myrtle tree shall come up. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now that's a tremendous thing to really contemplate. And just think what it's going to be to bring this whole environment back to what it ought to be. I tell you, it's something. It's something. Okay. Now, let's come to Isaiah 60. Isaiah 60, again, we're seeing more and more how the millennium is going to come together. Isaiah 60. And this is what it's going to be at the beginning of the millennium. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now think what a message that is going to be for the people who have been living in darkness, that have been oppressed, that never knew of God, that never understood any of these things. Brethren, I want you to realize what a great and fantastic blessing it is for us to have the whole Bible, the whole Word of God, so we can study it, so we can know it, so we can learn from it, so we can let our lives be molded and formed with the Spirit of God, with the Word of God. God has a great purpose for us. Verse 2, because this is what's going to happen. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall rise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And they're going to realize there is salvation. They're going to realize there is hope. They're going to realize that, yes, the Lord reigns. Notice what's going to happen. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Isn't that going to be an amazing thing for us to see and to know and to understand and be a part of it? Verse 4, lift up your eyes all around and see. All of them gather themselves together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant. Your heart shall throb and swell for joy, because the abundance of the sea shall turn to you, and the wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. Whew, those are tremendous words, aren't they? Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Let's come over here to verse 15 and let's see how else this is going to really, really add to the peace that we're going to bring to this world. Verse 15. Instead of being forsaken and hated, so that no one passes through, I will make you an eternal excellency, a joy to many generations. Now that's talking about the reward we will receive as spirit beings. Think of that. You know, for what we do in the millennium and in the kingdom of God, God is going to recompense us. Verse 6, you will also suck the milk of the nations and suck the breast of kings. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now, you talk about an economic boom. I want you to think about this in relationship to what we're seeing in the world today. And we know for sure that this whole financial system and the whole wealth structure is going to collapse because it's based upon the lies and deceit of Satan the devil, not the righteousness and truth of God, not the seven-year cycle and jubilee cycle that God has. And those are given so that there won't be the booms and the busts and the booms and the busts. That's what happens when you have the wrong kind of economics. But notice what it's going to be here. For bronze, I will bring gold. For iron, I will bring silver. For wood, I will bring bronze. For stones, iron. I will also make your overseers, that's us, to be peace, and your rulers to be righteousness. And look at this. You talk about a wonderful society. Think of one with no crime, no violence, no gangs, no lying, no cheating, no swindlers, no murders, no two-timing of husbands and wives, proper education for children. Think of that. All healthy, whole, happy, joyous before God. Verse 18, violence will no more be heard in your land, neither wasting or ruin within your borders, but you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And then it goes into New Jerusalem right here. Isn't that amazing? New Jerusalem is talked about in Revelation 21 and 22, but here are some prophecies of it. Your sun will no more go down, nor the moon withdraw, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. And what does it say of New Jerusalem? It has no need of the sun or the moon, for the Lamb and God are the light of it. There's no need of a temple. And that's the whole purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles, that God can dwell with his people. Tremendous, brethren. See how all of this fits together. All right. Your people also will all be righteous. They will inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, so I may be glorified. The smallest shall become 1,000, and the least a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. All right, let's come here to Isaiah 61. Let's also read how what Jesus gave in Luke, the 4th chapter, will continue on. What he started there, and reading about the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is going to be our job, and we are going to develop everything from there for 1,000 years. Now, we'll talk a little bit tomorrow about it. We do have some problems we need to work against. And we do have some things that people need to learn, because that's just the nature of the way that things are. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And let me tell you something, at the beginning of the millennium, there are going to be brokenhearted people everywhere. Every person in the world is going to have a broken heart and a broken spirit. You talk about being shell-shocked. You talk about having battle fatigue. You talk about gaunt and weary. You remember the pictures of those who were rescued from the internment camps from Germany, and those who were rescued from Siberia, those who were rescued from the slaughters in China and in Southeast Asia, what they look like. Yes, no more. to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. That be something? They'll tell us all about the things that they go through, and we can reach down and put our arms around them and tell them it's all going to be okay. It's all going to work out. God is here. We are here. Here is the truth. Satan has been removed. No more war. No more death. No more sorrow. God has a purpose for your life. And begin to lift him up. That's what we're going to be doing, brethren. That's why we've been called. That's why we keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And I want you to gain the vision of this understanding from the Word of God and to realize that the whole Bible is centered around this very thing to which we have been called. We are the first fruits, and we are the ones that God is going to use. So let us remain faithful and truthful and yielded to God in joy, in help, in strength, in seeing through all of the difficulties that lie ahead, because we're going to straighten out this world. Now notice what we're going to do. Verse 3. To appoint to those who mourn in Zion, giving them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And once they get everything all straightened out, then they're going to help participate in restoring the physical environment around them. Notice verse 4. They will build the waste places. They will raise up the desolation of former times. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Isn't that going to be something? And strangers will stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of strangers will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord. That's us. And it will be said of you, the ministers of our God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles. You will boast in their glory. Isn't that something? For all the difficulties that we've had in this life, notice this promise, verse 7. For your shame, you will have double. Instead of dishonor, they will rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their own land, they will possess double, everlasting joy will be theirs. And here's what we're going to do. For the Lord loves justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. So this is great. Let's read the rest of this, and we'll finish this sermon by reading the rest of these verses in this chapter to see the great and wonderful, complete remaking of the world. See, because when Christ returns and we return with Christ, the world is going to be in such a mess that it's going to need to be a new world, a new heaven, a new earth. Verse 9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the seed the Lord has blessed. That's us. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the robes of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom adorns himself with ornaments, and like a bride adorns herself with her jewels. Isn't that going to be something spectacular? For as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes that which is sown to grow, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to grow before all the nations. Brethren, Keep this in the forefront of your mind. What a wonderful destiny. What a tremendous job. What an absolute marvelous calling that God has for us, that we are to be called the sons of God and to rule and reign with Christ.